Hello, friends. Welcome to What Time Was I Born? An astrology podcast where I interview people through the lens of their birth chart. My name is Nadine, and I'm an astrologer based in New York City. You can find me on Instagram at NadineJane_astrology or on my website, www.NadineJaneAstrology.com. And yes, you can book a birth chart reading with me there. Hello, friends. On the final episode of season one of What Time Was I Born, I'm going to be speaking with Christina Wolfgram. If you've never heard of her before, she did that viral video of Elizabeth Holmes' makeup tutorial. That's actually how I discovered her, but I then realized we had been in contact before because we had done a reading together. So in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the ins and outs of what it means to be what she calls an internet comedian. And then what it means to be going through a Saturn return, because she is pretty much smack dab at the beginning of her Saturn return. If you are interested in the nitty-gritty of her chart, she is not only a Taurus rising, but she has her Sun in Taurus and her Mercury in Taurus all there in the first house. She has her Moon and several other outer planets in Capricorn in the ninth house of higher education. And then she has her Venus in Aries, and then she has her Mars in Pisces. Christina, maybe just high level, who are you? Where are you from? What do you do for anyone who's never heard of you before?
Hi, I'm Christina Wolfgram. I am an internet comedian, which is a job I made up. I was born in Washington, D.C. in a hospital that doesn't exist anymore. And now I live in Los Angeles with my cat, Mister.
When did
Oh, it's been just over 7 years. My cat just jumped into my lap. He's like, did you
mention me?
Oh my goodness. I found him on April Fool's Day. That feels very significant.
Yeah. So did you move to LA to pursue comedy? Has that always been the dream?
To be honest, I loved Los Angeles when I was a kid. My dad grew up here, and his mom lived out here, and we would visit once a year. And I grew up in Maryland, and every time we'd go home, I'd be like, why are we here, though? Right. Like, I just knew I wanted to be in Los Angeles. And the second I moved here, I was like, yeah, this is exactly right. And I met all these people who just felt like they were always supposed to be in my life, friends that I felt like I had almost grown up with when I'd only known them for a few weeks. And now they're still in my life after 7 years.
That's exactly how it's different, totally different cities, but that's exactly how I felt about New York. It's like,
no way.
Karmically pulled to it, or like, this is so much more me than the place that I grew up. But so I totally.
How long have you been in New York?
For almost 6 years, and it's been, yeah, but so anyways, you're a comedian, that's your job, correct?
Yes. I mean, my background is in writing. I've always been a writer, and just the way of the world has led me to writing exclusively for the internet. I make videos for my own Instagram and Facebook, but I also work with brands to make sure that they're creating content that isn't just like a bummer and like ruining people's days, that it makes people happy. I don't know. I always imagine people, when I'm writing for the internet, I imagine the audience is somebody like sitting on the toilet at work, just like needing a break. That's my dream audience.
I feel like that is like the bathroom stall in particular is like a meme vortex. You can just stay in there for hours.
Yes. And it's like the one space where you can actually breathe, which is gross, but
I guess my last and final question before we get into your chart is relationship with astrology up till now. And like, let me preface that by saying anything related to astrology, like it doesn't just have to be like, oh, I know this or I know that, but how did you hear about it in the first place? What has your journey been with it? Anything. And also you can shit on it too. I always tell people you don't have to be shy if there are parts of astrology that you really don't like.
I used to check my horoscope every day in the newspaper. I used to read the comics, and I would look at my horoscope because I thought it would tell my future.
So you're a believer since day one.
I guess. But then I think like with anything, like I grew up super Catholic, and Ooh. As I grew up and as I kind of found my comedic voice, I deal with the kind of cracks in anything mm-hmm. by writing jokes about it. Mm-hmm. So when I was in college, don't be mad at me, I used to write fake horoscopes for the school newspaper.
That's amazing. Thank you. And how did you write them? Were they literally were not rooted in astrology, just like whatever you felt like writing about for fun?
Sometimes I would base them on the people. Like if I knew a friend's sign, I would base it on them. Like I'd be like, I think they really need to hear that they need to eat grilled That's cheese amazing. This week.
Yeah. That's amazing. So the whole point was like, it was supposed to be intentionally a horoscope that's not a horoscope.
Absolutely. Because I love anything that is so poetic. Like I find astrology very poetic. I think your Instagram is very poetic. It can be interpreted in so many ways. Like I just love the idea that there are hundreds of Tauruses like me reading the same words, but we're all interpreting it differently based on our current situation. Like that just makes me so happy and it makes me feel connected to other people.
Right, right. And then do you know much about your chart? I mean, I know we did the PDF together, but do you study your chart ever? Do you look at it and you're like, I think I get my moon and my this and my that? Like how connected are you to the chart?
Yes. So when you did my chart about, I think it was about a year and a half ago, yeah. I had never looked at my moon sign. And when I looked up what it means to have, or when I read your explanation of what it means to have a moon in Capricorn, I was like, oh my God.
In what way? What did you like, what rang the most true to you?
Kind of my discomfort with being still. I have like this crazy need to be like, I guess like the best. I don't know. I compare myself to like the very best people. Like I'm like, why doesn't my hair look like Jennifer Lawrence's? And I like can't logic myself out of being like, because she has fancy hairstylists, like I'm like, I should be able to achieve that.
Right.
And usually on my own. Right. So the chart reading that you gave me also was very much like, you want to work all by yourself and try to be perfect by yourself, but you need to reach out to other people. Yes. And it really changed me. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so true. I do just want to be like, if you want it done right, do it yourself. And yeah. That's not sustainable.
Right. And like self-reliance is cool. And it's actually, I mean, I'd much rather personally be self-reliant than codependent, but like there's mm-hmm. a balance there in any person's chart. And like, I think definitely removing Capricorns, like, yeah, it's just this feeling of like, well, I think to me, it implies on the deepest level, you could do whatever you wanted to, like whatever you set your mind to, your chart probably could achieve. But I think the bigger question is like, is that the healthiest thing for you? And could it have been easier? Could it have been more fulfilling if you brought in other people or if you let yourself off the hook if you didn't want to accomplish something? It's just to me, Moon and Capricorn is like, but when do we relax? You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, definitely. And that feeling of there are so many things I could do and I'm not sure what to focus on is actually one of my biggest anxiety triggers.
Yes.
When I let myself spiral into, yeah, I could definitely write a book. I should write a movie. I have so many ideas for TV shows. I should be a YouTuber. Why don't I do makeup videos? Like, it's the worst. That's when I start losing my breath and my heart is racing and I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
One of the signs that we haven't spoken a ton about, if at all, this season is Taurus. The general qualities associated with Taurus are going to be grounded, stable, earthy, reliable. It's very much associated with food and pleasure and anything that's in quote, like indulgent in life. And so in Christina's case, we're going to say that she's not just a Taurus rising. Her sun is in Taurus and her Mercury is in Taurus as well. So she's sort of the perfect poster child or textbook example of how this can show up in someone's personality. And so in her case, we're going to see how she doesn't just identify with the traits of Taurus, but she's used a little bit of those comforts as a way to deal with her anxiety.
But you are not just a Taurus sun, you're a Taurus rising, and your Mercury's in Taurus. So base level, it basically just means there is some, so my boyfriend's a Taurus rising too. It means as some sort of survival mechanism at it, like, cause we're all little young geniuses when we're little, somehow surviving in your family of origin, you needed routine and then you needed structure and you needed to be able to rely on certain things. So what I've noticed with Taurus risings are some form of routine is really necessary, or eating the same food every day, or wearing the same outfit every day, or having something that you know that you can fall back on symbolically. And so generally in the family of origin, it can tell stories of total chaos. Or in my boyfriend's case, he grew up in a very, very normal household, but it was very structured. So the routine thing was sort of given to him by his family. But I'm curious, and there's more to Taurus that I'll talk about in a second, but I'm just curious, where does like the sort of stability and at times monotony and sort of regularity of Taurus fit into your personality?
Oh, for sure. Well, first of all, I'm just so glad you didn't start with like food, because I feel like that all the Taurus memes are like snacks. And yeah. I'm like munching on popcorn and I'm like, you don't know me.
Yeah.
But that rings such a bell. I also grew up in a lovely, I mean, I had just the luckiest childhood with a really loving family, but I have had anxiety since I was a really small kid and depression, which I only have realized in the past few years. And I have memories of, I used to carry around this little medallion that my dad gave me because he told me it was lucky. Mm. And I believed it so deeply that I had it in my pocket every day. And I remember misplacing it. And like, I'm pretty sure like I misplaced it at an airport and I had my mom call the airport and be like, have you seen a plastic medallion? And like, now I know that's probably a little, I don't know, unstable, but I looked for stability in almost like too much. And I looked for stability in kind of some odd places.
Yeah.
I loved school so much. And mm-hmm. I think I went to school up to my master's degree, and I noticed such a shift in my life after I was done, mm-hmm. because I was like, who's assigning me projects? How do I get an A in taxes? Like,
totally.
And there are some really good things. The thing about, I order the same food all the time. If I go to a restaurant and I like something, I get the exact same burrito, the turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's just so comforting. So in a way, I'm lucky because I do have those things to fall back on.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is like, in regards to approaching anxiety in particular, I think that putting your faith in like a plastic medallion is perfect. totally honest, because Taurus rising is very physical. It's not about, I put my faith in the universe. It's, I put my faith in this, the symbolism that I draw from this physical object given to me by my dad. You know what I mean? So I think like, yeah. And what I think is really cute about it, I'll probably reference my boyfriend a number of times, because you guys have eerily similar charts, by the way. Moon and Taurus rising, moon and Capricorn, tons of planets in Capricorn, just like you in the ninth house. So you guys are like astro twins. But anyways, what I noticed with him is he was really into garage sale shopping with his mom when he was really little. And he always wanted to buy the old spoons for some reason. Like, you know, those old spoons with like the cool carvings on them. Yeah. And he, apparently his mom at one point was like, you need to throw these out, Nick. Like, you have too many of them. And apparently he would like kiss them and tell them he's so sorry that he asked to leave them as he was like throwing them out. And so what I'm hearing from you that reminds me of him is just, it's a true attachment and a safety in a physical object. And it's much deeper than it may seem. You know what I mean? So I think that is totally correct. The other piece to it, which I love, is a loyalty factor. So you like the same food sometimes, if you like something, you're sure about it and you stick with it. How has that played out in relationships? I'm talking about any relationship in your life.
Yes. That's another aspect I feel very lucky about, because I have friends from, like, I have a friend from middle school who I met in seventh grade, who still is like my very best friend. I think about conversations we had when we were 12, like her sense of humor has affected my sense of humor so much that I think about her when I'm writing. Mm-hmm. And like, we only talk maybe once a year. Mm-hmm. And we kind of almost made this pact, like, we're going to be friends forever. And it's been very real.
Yes.
In terms of romantic relationships, I think I, when I was younger, had a really hard time settling. Like, I would be very intense at the beginning of a relationship and then all of a sudden be like, oh no, you're not. Oh, I'm sorry. I like kissing, but I don't want this. I don't want to go to prom with you. No, no, no.
Right.
And as I got older and, you know, life got a little more serious, I was so searching for someone who complimented my work ethic and my food stuff, honestly. And I've been with my boyfriend for 7 years now. And like, one of the first things we discovered about each other, it's, I mean, whatever, I'll admit it. We both like love McDonald's.
So bonding over shared food. That's very Taurus. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's, you cannot not speak about food when you speak about Taurus.
Yeah, exactly. And beyond that, kind of having these places or experiences in our life that we like to revisit. Mm-hmm. I love every Christmas. I love the putting the Christmas tree up and seeing like the same ornaments on the Christmas tree. And he has like a hot springs in New Mexico that he feels the same way about it that I feel about the ornaments on the Christmas tree. Right. And he's a Pisces, so he's very emotional in his own way. Mm-hmm. And I think we figure each other out for each other a lot. Like, we reflect each other a lot.
If you were to Google what it means to have Pluto in the seventh house, you're going to get a range of answers. Majority of them can be very anxiety inducing. They can be a little bit intimidating and frightening as to what it means in regards to your partnerships, because the seventh house has everything to do with long-term partnership. It's really the house of others, aka, you know, best friends, business partners, romantic partners. And Pluto's not a planet that we normally equate to that part of our life. Pluto is supposed to be about transformation, upheaval, getting to know our demons, so on and so forth. So what does it really mean when someone has Pluto in the seventh house? To be honest, I don't think it's something to be afraid of. I actually think it's an opportunity to use your partners as a mirror or a window or reflection into the parts of yourself that you are denying. So let's say you are not someone who likes to feel your feelings or feel your pain, then maybe through the process of falling in love and getting to know your partner, you're forced to confront some of those demons for the sake of the relationship. So if you yourself have Pluto in the seventh, or quite frankly, any of the in quote malefics in astrology, I don't think it means doomsday for partnership whatsoever. I think it means opportunity, an opportunity to be real and to be authentic and to be completely yourself. And so in Christina's case, she has Pluto in the seventh and it's opposing all of her planets in Taurus in the first house. And one of the things, the epiphanies that I had during this portion of our talk was that Pluto in the seventh also means privacy in partnership. It doesn't mean that she wants to talk at length about it. You know, for a very gregarious comedian, this was probably the part of the reading where she was the most shy. And that was because I didn't really think about it. Of course she is. Pluto in the seventh is protective, it's deep, and it's intense when it comes to partnership. So we're going to hear it play out out in real time, and how Christina puts it in her own words as to what Pluto in the seventh house means for her.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, one of my most immediate things that I think is fascinating about your chart, again, not dissimilar to my boyfriend, is you have, because it's Pluto is generational. And Pluto is a planet of like trauma and transformation. It's neither good nor bad. It's just, where does Christina need to be honest, and where does she need to be self-aware, and where does she need to transform? Mm. And all of your Taurus planets oppose your Pluto. I'm actually going to show you, I'm going to mouse over it. So this is you, mm-hmm. This is your Pluto. So the first house explains Christina, what does she bring to the table in a relationship? The seventh house explains them. And what that means is like the best friend, or, but in particular, the long-term partner. So in your case, absolutely your 7-year relationship. And having Pluto in the seventh house, basically, I actually love that your partner is a water sign, because your chart on its worst day doesn't want to deal with the tough stuff, because Taurus likes to stay in reality. It likes to stay in that medallion rather than the hard feelings that it's feeling. And having Pluto in the seventh house in an ideal world is a partner who either forces you to confront your feelings, or maybe since he's a Pisces, makes it a safe enough space for you to feel your feelings. Because what's interesting about a chart like yours, you have all this Capricorn stuff, you have all this Taurus stuff. Earth signs on their worst day can't, it's not that anyone's more or less emotional than anyone else. It's just, how do we deal with those emotions? And Taurus and Capricorn more would be, let me be practical, let me be efficient, let me be smart, let me be capable, rather than let me go wallow in my feelings. And so I'm just curious, like through love and through romance, and maybe particularly with him, have you gotten to know more of your sensitive side?
Oh, yes. I love so much what you said about that everyone is emotional. It's just how you deal with your emotions.
Yeah. There's no such thing as a more, in quotations, more emotional person, in my opinion.
I think that's so, so true. And I think that we both have confronted emotions that, not that we were like consciously pushing down or anything, but he doesn't care when, well, I should rephrase that. I mean, of course he cares, but he doesn't judge me for crying.
Yeah.
And that is so a way that I have, I cry with every emotion. Like, I cry when I'm really happy. Mm-hmm. I cry when I'm scared. I really cry when I'm angry. And I've had relationships, friendships, and romantic relationships where that was a problem. Crying can scare people.
Right.
And maybe that is my Taurus self needing to have kind of almost like a physical reaction. But like, after I have a good cry, I just feel so much better.
Totally.
So being able to cry around him and not having to be like, yeah, everything's fine, and then going off by myself to cry.
Yeah.
Has been, I mean, it's made it that it doesn't even feel like we've been together for 7 years. It feels like it just met him, and it's, yeah. I don't know.
But like, have you had to confront any truths about yourself because of the relationship that you weren't aware of before the relationship, if that makes sense?
Oh yeah, for sure. And one of the things has been kind of examining, what is my depression? What is self-care? What is laziness?
Yeah.
And at where in those three circles is the energy to be a good girlfriend?
Right.
And a good coworker, mm-hmm. because we work together.
Yeah.
So facing that in myself has been the equivalent of like a tragedy sometimes, like a lot of crying, a lot of therapy. But I feel better for facing it. And I think we've gotten over some big humps of that. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Oh no, the police. No, I'm talking about my relationship on the internet. Oh God. To be honest, I think this might be like the most I've ever talked about this because I keep it. I think I saw this in my chart and I was like, that's me. I feel so private about my relationship. Totally.
Yeah, that's exactly what it says as well with Pluto is it's just, this is that you're, it's the thing that you hold dearest to your heart because mm-hmm. it's the place of transformation and it's also the place, it's the thing that you want to protect more than anything. So I completely understand.
Not yeah.
Normally. Yeah.
It's totally fine. I mean, if anyone else is feeling this stuff, I obviously want them to know they're not alone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like made a rule when we first started dating, because I was starting to write for the internet, I was like, I'm going to be really careful about what I put out there. Because also I had, you know, some relationships that were very much like all over Facebook being like, oh my God, the love of my life. Right. I love you so much. And then I think I had one boyfriend just like break up with me on Facebook, like just by being like single.
Right.
I was like, it's not even complicated. Like, oh my God. So I didn't want that to happen again.
Why? And you know what? The epiphany that I'm having is not so much tell us about your relationship, but the epiphany that I'm having is you hit the nail on the head, which is that you don't like to expose the deepest parts of your relationship. So I guess maybe the easier question and the more important question to ask you is, why are you private about your relationship, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
Because that could be really interesting to someone with Pluto in the seven.
For sure. I think I used to think of relationships as this like fully formed thing. Like it was a plastic medallion that I could carry in my pocket. And in reality, I mean, now that I've been with someone for more than like 6 months, it's an ever-changing thing. So I think I don't want to present this like fully formed,
oh my God, life is perfect.
Yeah. Or even like, oh my God, we're having problems and like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I want to just keep figuring it out between the two of us.
A stellium is when you have four or more planets within a few degrees of one another. So to put it in pretty literal terms, imagine that there's a cluster of planets kind of hugging each other at the moment that you were born. And in Christina's case, she has a stellium in Capricorn in her ninth house. And it includes her moon, but it actually includes Saturn as well, Uranus and Neptune, which are external or outer planets. And so in her case, we're going to see how having such a huge emphasis of Capricorn in a chart can lead to holding yourself to a really high standard, which is a good thing, but at the same time, holding yourself at times to irrational standards that an average human being can't meet all the time. And so we're going to have her put it in her own words. But if you have a huge emphasis of Capricorn in your own chart, I would love for you to consider the ways in which you overwork yourself, or maybe where you tend to never rest and never get your needs met, but instead just try to put one foot in front of the other. It's your greatest strength and your greatest weakness in this one area, and it's true for Christina as well.
Okay, so I have a working theory, by the way. My working theory, and I think I read it somewhere, so I by no means want to take credit for this, but the working theory is Capricorn is the sign of the comedian. And I'll explain why. Isn't that surprising?
I'm so happy.
So let me explain the working theory. First of all, Will Ferrell's a Capricorn. I think even Jim Carrey at least has a lot of Capricorn in his chart. I think Kate McKinnon, is that her name, is a Capricorn.
Oh, that's her name.
Is that her name? Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. So the working theory is Capricorn is the most deadpan of the signs in the sense that it is technically, like, people are always like, it's humorless. And I'm like, well, no, actually, it's not going to crack when it tells a joke. So that's what makes them so funny. And so that's my working theory. And so you have your midheaven, you have Saturn, you have Neptune, you have Uranus, you have your moon all in Capricorn. This is like no small deal.
Wow.
I would say on its worst day, it is hyper-controlling in mm-hmm. the sense of wanting perfection, being really hard on yourself, by the way. I mean, the moon and Saturn, I just, maybe let's just start there.
Okay.
have you always been really tough on yourself? And also, it can tell a story of the mom. So by no means mean your mom is a bad person, but I'm just curious, did she have high expectations for you, or did your family have some sort of structure around it where you were supposed to be a competent, amazing person? Where does the moon in Capricorn story show up for you?
Well, starting with my mom, weirdly, she was never, ever hard on me. My parents, like, I don't know if they like decided before they had kids or what, but they were so good at being like, just do your best.
Right.
Just do your best. And I'm the oldest of four. And they sense. Sometimes they were like, oh, be a good example for your brothers and sister. But it wasn't like, I don't know, they weren't very strict. I mean, I feel like they were just so reasonable and very supportive of me, showing my emotions and talking things out. I mean, just, I hit the jackpot, honestly.
Oh.
But I think sometimes I take do your best to a point of bonkers, impossible.
Right.
To a point where I actually, like, I think, slow myself down.
Mm.
Like, I'll make a to-do list that's like, the to-do list will be like, make my bed, make sure I eat healthy, answer emails, do like a pitch for a video, write chapters 1 through 11 of my book, finish screenplay. Like, it's just like,
just big hefty ass goals.
Oh yeah. And then I'm like, it's like 7 p.m. and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll stop now. And I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but I thought last year when I was thinking about leaving my job, I think that came from a place of being too hard on myself. I create videos for the internet, and I had some extremely successful videos. I mean, it was like, it was incredible just reaching people all over the world. Some of them had just hundreds of millions of views. Like, I kind of can't wrap my head around it. But there was like this side of me that was like, that's not enough. You're not doing enough. You should be doing more videos. You should be doing longer videos. Why isn't this a TV show? Why isn't this more?
Right.
You're not making enough money. You're not getting enough credit. I don't know. Just like total spiral.
Yeah.
And I think the only solution was for me to kind of start over. So I don't regret anything. But I thought I would leave and be like, yes, now I am my own boss. I'm so powerful. I'm going to rocket ship through all my goals. And I actually was like almost like knocked out for a month. Like, I think I slept like maybe a million hours.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a mathematician, but it was about a million hours.
It was approximately, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that was my Saturn return.
And you're almost at your Saturn return, believe it or not.
Right. I'm 29.
Right.
And this all happened when I was 28. And I was so positive that was my Saturn return. And it hasn't even like really come yet. So I'm like, oh, that was just my own doing. Like, I can't blame
The stars.
Like, Saturn had nothing to do with it.
You actually can. No, I actually want to go into this. Like, one, your interview's interesting, because normally in the other ones I was just talking about fundamentally who they are. You and I would be really, like, I would be wrong to not talk about your horoscope, because you're about to go through your Saturn return. But also, there has been an absolute shitstorm of planets in Capricorn since 2019. So all I will say is, like, at the beginning of 2019, Saturn hit your natal moon. So, like, you, in many ways, you've had many lead-ups to your Saturn return. So if it felt like you've already gone through your Saturn return, abso-fucking-lutely, like, you're not wrong at all. But I will just tell you, what I will tell you is the first part was much more emotional. The first part was a lot more, even in some ways, quiet. Like, it might have been, like, a slow, like you were describing, I slept. Like, it was my own personal, maybe, I don't know what you want to call it, but like, if you felt too scared to do anything, that's kind of what was going on. The real tangible Saturn return stuff is yet to come. But to give you some credit, it's all about figuring out how to release and how to rebel against your Capricorn identity, because you have all these really chaotic planets in there, like Uranus and Neptune. So like, yeah, you're totally a Capricorn, but you're a comedian and you're eccentric and you're different. And yes, you're all those hardworking things, but you're also so unique at the same time. I think like the past year, and then probably next year, probably 2020 as well, it's just going to be like, okay, can you actualize how different you are and how much of an individual you are, instead of making it about, can I be the best? Because I think the comparison game is where your chart can ruin itself, of like, I need to be number one. What does it take to be number one? Rather than, I'm assuming the videos that went viral were the ones where you, that was not your motivation. You just had some like epiphany of what the coolest, funniest video you could do would be.
One of the things I've been dying to talk about on this podcast is a Saturn return, because at this point in pop culture, it's super well known. There are very few people who are into astrology that have not heard of the Saturn return, but it tends to be really dramatized and can be made to sound like the worst thing to ever happen to someone. It happens between the ages of 28 to 30 years old. The length of the Saturn return varies, and there are online calculations if you want to see exactly when yours starts. But to zoom out, it's basically just, to me, the last growing up period before you enter your 30s. It's just Saturn kind of knocking at your door and saying, hey, so-and-so, have you learned the lessons and have you matured and grown up in the ways that I've been asking you to? And so anyone who has Saturn in Capricorn, you at some point, whether it was last year or this year, going through your Saturn return, Capricorn as a sign in particular is about kind of slow and methodical and very steady moves in order to make small improvements that can last a lifetime. So for these people, Christina included, the Saturn return is not loud, it's not showy, it's not crazy or flamboyant. It's mostly about the small incremental changes and improvements that a person can make to become a more reliable and trustworthy person to themselves and to others. So in Christina's case, we're going to see how it shows up in her ninth house, what that could mean for her today, because the timing of this podcast was interesting. She's really just starting her Saturn return as we were speaking.
So probably one of the themes of your episode is going to have to be about, what does it look like when someone's going through their Saturn return? Yours is in the public. And what I mean by that is, no, it's not about like my breakdown or whatever is in the public. It's more about the sort of like growing up for your chart, which is a Saturn return, is mostly about figuring out your career. And because it's right next to your midheaven, and the midheaven is the career. And so I'm just curious, are you at a point, do you feel more pressure than you ever have to like actualize this career in recent terms? I mean, talking like 2020, is there a lot of shit that you want to accomplish?
Yes, absolutely. I'm almost like paralyzed by all the thoughts going through my head, because I'm still trying to figure out what I feel like I should do and what I actually want to do. Like, I want to write a book. I really, that's come up a lot. But then I sit down to do planning for it, and instead I'm like, but why? Why are you writing a book? Why would you write a book right now when there's like no one reading? And I'm also like, why don't I have a million followers? Why don't my videos reach as many people anymore? And I can sit and like logic all of that stuff out for a million reasons, but so many of them are just out of my control.
Do you ever want to be, this is going to sound super weird, but I just am curious, your midheaven and your Saturn returns actually in the ninth house of higher education. So yeah, made me think about you. You were like, I love school. And I was like, hell yeah, all of your Capricorn shit's in the house of education.
Oh my God.
One of the things that your Saturn return could be about is reconnecting with school. So I'm just curious, like, thoughts?
Wait, that's That makes me feel so excited because this past year I started teaching online writing classes.
Cool.
Oh my gosh. And one of my goals before March is after this whole year of kind of throwing shit at the wall, to be honest, just kind of seeing what people are interested in and what actually helps people. I have an idea for basically like mega class comedy writing for the internet. And I've been working on putting that together.
How does it feel to be a teacher since you've started to do these classes? Does that resonate with, does it feel natural?
Definitely. I think I used to love musical theater and it just feels like I'm playing a teacher.
Yes, absolutely. I was going to tell you, and I just wasn't sure how it fit into your comedy story, but like you have so much education in your chart. Like it's crazy.
Whoa.
And so like if you love that piece, that's absolutely, like I always tell my boyfriend who has a very similar chart to you, he's a woodworker, and I'm like, that's for sure the job. But I'm like, but you may very well like spend, maybe one of the most fulfilling journeys of your career might be when you are able to teach that to people one day. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, I'm like kind of tearing up. That is crazy.
So that's exciting to you.
Oh, it's so exciting because one of the things that gets in my way for sure is self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I put out my first class and I made a commercial for it. And the commercial was like a parody of Masterclass.
Right. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was so hilarious that everyone thought it was a joke and no one signed up for the class.
They just thought it was a bit. That's so funny.
Yeah, so I definitely, going forward, just want to be able to be confident enough to be like, yes, I know things and I can teach them to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, your Saturn returns about getting more serious. So I know as a comedian, that's like a bit of a like oxymoron. Like, how can I be more serious about being a comedian? I don't know. But your Saturn return is something about taking yourself seriously and realizing like, no, I could be really, really good at this.
Whoa, that's love you, dope. Saturn return.
Yeah, that's kind of dope. Seriously, your Saturn return actually is not going to be that hard. And I'm not saying that Saturn returns are hard, period. But yours is not going to be that hard so long as I think you just show up. Like, all you have to do is maybe, like, keep putting those courses out there and just, like, see what happens. And know Capricorn is, like, this is the best thing about them. It's about the journey, not so much the destination. So like for you, just put one foot in front of the other and then that's how you're going to do your Saturn return. It's just like, you don't have to have a full class at the beginning of 2020, but you just keep moving forward and it grows like slower and steadier than you could have ever imagined, if that makes sense.
Oh my gosh. Have you ever heard the musical Sunday in the Park with George?
No.
That's okay. Most people haven't. It's just like it's like the least known Stephen Sondheim musical. Actually, that's not true, but there's a song at the end where this woman is basically singing to an artist and saying, you have to keep moving on.
Mm.
Like if you get bogged down in thoughts of what are you doing? Is it unique? Is it original? Just keep moving on.
Yes.
And absolutely. I think that should be my theme song.
I think at this point in the season, you guys have gotten pretty familiar with the North and the South Node. But in the off chance you are entering this episode for, and you've never heard any of the other episodes, the North Node basically explains karmic destiny. Who are you on your best day? Who are you evolving into? And then the South Node kind of encompasses karmic debt. Who are you on your worst day? Who are you when you're not being your best self? So Christina's nodes fall with her South Node in Leo and her North Node in Aquarius. And so in her chart's case, and actually really in anyone who's on that polarity, Leo is the sign of attachment. And then Aquarius is a sign of detachment. So really all that means is not so much, okay, Christina has to learn to not be around people and learn how to be completely detached and void of feeling. No, that's the biggest cliche of Aquarius that isn't true. It's more saying I can learn how to be in partnership, in community, and with others in a way where their opinions and their feelings and their feedback and critiques of me do not define who I am and how I present myself. So we're going to discover for her the ways in which she's growing out of her south node in Leo and becoming her true self, which is her north node in Aquarius.
Have you learned how to silence any of the thoughts of like, will this person like this, or will this be likable, or will I still be loved by the public in some way? In order to do what your chart really wants to do, which is to be like unapologetically authentic in your career. Does that make sense?
It honestly feels like those are two poles that have been pulling at each other, and really the need to be liked and the self-satisfaction I can find within myself have been butting heads a lot.
Yeah.
But I do feel an awareness of it being there, which is cool. And I think it's actually helped me a little bit be pickier about who I work with.
Yeah.
I know you said that teamwork is important, but I don't know if it's an LA specific thing. It might just be a life thing, but I have encountered a lot of people who, when I meet them, they want me to be this certain thing. They want me to, it's like that thing, I meet people and they're like, oh, you're a comedian, make a joke. And I'm like, my life's a joke. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Like those kind of people who just think it's like, I'm like a Tic Tac dispenser. And I just, I'm like, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I think I have cut a lot of those people out of my life. And I think when I meet them, I'm hyper aware of that. Mm-hmm. And I have kind of gotten away from them as best I can. And sometimes that hasn't been the most graceful, to be honest. Like sometimes I've just ghosted people. Oh no. Oh my God. I can't. So bad. Oh, I'm so bad. But like the need for them to like me, I couldn't even like think about it. I had to completely put that aside.
Yeah.
So I hope there's more of that. I want that. And I love the people who are watching my videos. I don't think anymore like, oh, I need to be reaching new people. I'm like so happy with the community that has come to me. Like, I can't believe they found me. I honestly can't believe how generous they are and supportive and like super generous with their stories. Like they're being so authentic to me. I just want to like match them, honestly.
If someone were to ask me, what is the point of doing a chart reading? I think my most simple answer is a chart reading can begin to unpack or make clear or dig out that really big existential question that we all have, which is, what was I uniquely made for? Because we certainly know what's popular and what's cool and what we think we should be, but what does the chart say that we uniquely should be despite other people's opinions or thoughts or motivations? And so I end every episode by just asking the person, what do you think you were made for? Given everything we've covered today in your chart, what do you feel in your gut, in your heart, in your soul you were meant to do with your life? And what is your purpose here on earth? The answers are always fascinating. And I'm always pleasantly surprised by how in tune people are with their own destiny. And so Christina's answer does not disappoint.
I feel like I've known the answer for a long time. I'm here to make people feel more comfortable.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, like so many embarrassing conversations. I'm putting embarrassing in air quotes.
Yeah.
Like about periods, about mental health, about farts. I feel no embarrassment at all.
Yeah.
And it like makes my heart hurt when someone's like, oh yeah, I got my period at work and it ruined my month and I'm just so devastated and I'm so sad. I want to make them feel more comfortable. I want to make people feel more comfortable while they're sitting in the stall, the bathroom stall at work, trying to take a break from the stress of life.
I think that's so beautiful. What I really love about it is Taurus is comfortable. So I love that, like, a part of your explanation, because like there's humor involved because that's the Capricorn stuff. There's being an individual, which is the Aquarius stuff, but you also touched upon your sun sign, which I think is super sweet. Like a Taurus and Taurus rising, like literally is the most calming sign. It literally is supposed to make people feel more peaceful.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I really like this. Talking through my chart with you has changed everything for me because I don't have to be like 100% Taurus.
Yes. Oh my God. Right.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I hate the most, but at the same time, like, technology is making this better because like people are getting CoStar and like all these apps where you can look up your chart, but like it's such a disservice to someone to tell them like you're a Taurus and this is what it means to be a Taurus. Cause it's like, yes, but there's like 8 million other sides to me that you're not encompassing in this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, this chart is like a whole rainbow of stuff that I don't know about myself maybe. So it's really cool.
Thank you so, so, so much.
Thank you. Thanks so much for listening to What Time Was I Born? If you want to find me online in the interwebs and the crazy Instagram world, you can find me at NadineJane_astrology or on my website, www.NadineJaneAstrology.com.